privilege, but it also carries great responsibility to break forth the Word of God. So let's pray and commit this time to the Lord. Father, we welcome the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Father, I acknowledge my dependency upon you. Father, there are no clever words or there's nothing to do here to impress. We are only impressed with you. And so, Father, we welcome the presence of your Holy Spirit. Pray, Father, that you would speak to us tonight through your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, tonight we are talking about the offended heart. Offended. Who? Me? That. Now that offends me. All of us have been offended. All of us have wrestled with offense. And if you have wrestled with offense, that's a good thing to do. It's much better than ignoring it or stuffing it. Now, the subject that we're talking about can be approached from multiple directions. But tonight, I want to focus on a few important points related to offense. And we will trust the Holy Spirit to sort out the complex details of offense. We live in a culture where people are easily offended. So many people are wearing their feelings on their sleeves. And if you don't cater to their feelings, they will cancel or dismiss you. Now, I want to set your mind at ease. I'm not talking about politics tonight. However, if politics offends you, maybe the Holy Spirit is talking about politics tonight. Regardless of where it comes from, we need to take a careful look at offense. We do need to wrestle with it because it can be potentially toxic. There are plenty of reasons to get offended. There's a quote here that I want to read that's typical of our culture. And this quote says, "The world is a magical place full of people waiting to get offended by something." Offense often sneaks up on us at unexpected moments. And sadly, it can take root and it can linger for many years. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "Make sure that no root of bitterness grows up, that it might cause trouble and pollute many people." Wow, I think that's a real powerful word, pollute. It does pollute. It is very toxic. And not only is it toxic, it is also contagious. Offense can happen by the honk of a horn and an unwanted gesture. Offense can happen when you feel ignored or unnoticed. Offense can happen when someone has a strong opinion. Offense can happen when you feel like your authority has been stepped on. Offense can happen when you're reminded about your faults and you already know what they are. Offense can happen in countless situations. If we let offense go unchecked, it can lead to what I'll call heart poisoning. There's another quote that says, "What offends you reveals you." That's powerful. That will preach in itself. Offended people make judgments. It's not our place to make judgments. We say to ourselves, "Oh, I know why they did that." But that's not true. No one knows the intent of the heart except God. Offended people often open themselves up to self-deception. We imagine what that person might be saying Or we imagine or assume that they're talking to so-and-so. We need to be careful about making those assumptions. Offended people surround themselves with people who support their offense. The old saying, misery loves company, how true that is. Offended people make excuses and justify their offense. They say, oh, if you only knew what I had been through, if you only knew what they did to me. Offense can eat at us like a cancer or a parasite. Offense can often run deep until we feel it physically. Our blood pressure goes up, face turns red, stomach issues, sleeplessness. It can be a very destructive force in our lives. I was recently offended by one of our public utilities, which will go nameless. It was a couple of weeks ago, and this particular public utility, they called me. And they said, Mr. Sparkman, you are going to have to bring your home up to code, and if you refuse, we're going to turn off this particular utility in 10 days. Well, I flipped. I went from 0 to 100 in a matter of seconds. I felt unjustly targeted. I felt like it was a needless expense. I've been there for 28 years, and now, you know, why is this coming up now? I felt like it was their responsibility. So my response, it was like the lights were going off. It was like the dashboard of a car where the lights are flashing and the buzzers are going. And I needed to pull over. We all know what to do when the lights come on the dashboard. What do? We pull over. We stop and we try to find out what's going on. And so as quickly as I went from 0 to 100, praise God, I also stopped. I stopped in mid-conversation, and I apologized to the man that was calling. And I said, I understand you are only doing your job. My response was wrong. Will you please forgive me? I don't mean to make your job harder. Well, with that sincere apology, he changed, and his whole tone changed. In fact, he was doing all he can to work with me regarding the things that needed to be done. After the call, I stopped and I prayed, and I knew pretty quickly why I was triggered. You see, sometimes we just vomit on people, and it's not necessarily anything that they did. It could be something that triggered us, some pain from the past. So I stopped and I prayed. I stopped, you know, when our car is going off and the dashboard is lit up and the lights are flashing, we need to pull over and read our instruction book. We need to pull out the owner's manual, which for the Christian, it's the Bible. And sometimes we need to call the manufacturer and say, I need help with this. And the manufacturer for the Christian is Jesus, exactly. And he will tell you why the dashboard is lit up. Our first point tonight is when you are offended, stop and examine your heart and ask God why you feel offended. Now, there is, in an effort to bring some balance, there is something called righteous indignation. And so this perhaps will give you a little bit of wiggle room if you're feeling a little squeamish about tonight's subject. There is something called righteous indignation, and righteous indignation is anger that's directed towards sin or the originator of sin, which is Satan. You know, we are angry at the things that God is angry about. Unfortunately, oftentimes, righteous indignation, because we're familiar with that passage and we're familiar with righteous anger, can sometimes be an excuse for the believer. We see injustice or we're experiencing injustice and we use the trump card, righteous indignation. But we really need to examine that and determine whether or not is it really righteous indignation, or am I offended? Have I been hurt? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know, that is such a powerful verse and a powerful reminder to us all that we don't wrestle with people. We're not fighting against people. It is a scheme of the enemy. And yes, I know that the person you're fighting with might look like your husband. Or it might look like your boss or your neighbor. There is a scheme of the enemy at work. And he wants to bring offense. And we have to remember, we're not battling against flesh and blood, against people. Now, our second point is, when you are offended, discern what is righteous indignation versus what is fleshly or carnal offense. Now, how many of you have had to learn some things through your marriage? Yes, I did too. How many of you have been offended by your spouse? No. Don't keep your hands down. Don't answer that. Well, if you know my dear wife, Anita, I'm sure that what I'm about to say will be absolutely difficult for you to believe, but I had been offended by Anita, and I know it's hard to believe that she would offend anyone, but I had been offended. And so being the fine Christian man that I've always been, tongue in cheek, I decided I was going to stuff it. I was going to swallow it. I was going to just not say anything about how I had been offended. However, being the wise and prudent man that I've always been, tongue in cheek, I decided I'll make a list. I'm embarrassed to say so, but I literally made a list. Now, it's easy to tell you this because this was many years ago. It's always easy to confess things that are way back when. So I had made a list of the offenses that she had done against me because I thought, well, one day she'll need to know this. And one day I may need to defend myself. The Holy Spirit arrested me. And everybody said, praise God. The Holy Spirit arrested me and reminded me of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's very clear. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Ouch. It was really clear I needed to do something with that record of wrongs. So on an evening when I was alone at home, I started a fire in our wood stove, and I took that list of offenses, and one at a time, I prayed, tore it off the top, and stuck it into the fire. And I prayed again, tore it off, stuck it in the fire. And God instantly, as I released those things, he released that offense from my heart. It just dissipated and lifted off of me. And he also released my memory where I didn't remember it anymore. But so these things can be toxic, and it's so important for us to address them. The third point is, when you are offended, don't rehearse the offenses or keep a record of wrongs. So very important point. I had, since we're doing confessions, I have another confession. Once again, this was a long time ago, so it's easy to talk about. years ago, I had an employer. Remind you, years ago, it's not current. Years ago, I had an employer that I had become highly offended with. And that particular experience made a lifelong impression upon me. Now, my boss, he was a very difficult man. He grumbled constantly and cussed about everything, and he treated me very unjustly. And he would purposely do things to get under my skin. And he smoked a big, fat, stogie cigar. Actually, he didn't smoke it as much as he chewed it. And he not only chewed it, but the tobacco juice would run down his chin. Now, if that isn't bad enough, our desk butted up to each other. And he would take that cigar and he would set it on the edge of my desk. So I was struggling. I was struggling big time with my boss. And Saturday came, and I was very offended. Actually, he wasn't supposed to work that particular day. I wasn't expecting him to come in. And so I thought, okay, this is going to be an anxiety-free day. And I was up at the front counter waiting on one of the customers, and I heard the door open. And he announced his arrival. And when he did, this rushing pain from the back of my neck right to my forehead just blew up inside of me. And it was, and all those dash lights came on. Not only did the dash lights come on, but my engine was blown. At the end of the day, I left the office and I went out to my car, and I literally collapsed on the front seat of my car, and I said, God, I know I'm supposed to love this man, but I don't know how to do it. I can't do this. So, as I'm driving home and I'm approaching the Berkeley Bridge, the Holy Spirit arrested me. Everybody says, praise God. And reminded me of a scripture, and it's in Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Whew. So that happened at the foot of the Berkeley Bridge. So, with gritted teeth and a tight jaw, I prayed for my boss. And I said, dear God, I ask you to bless my boss. I pray that you will help me to work hard, help me to make him look good with the excellent work I do. I just began to pray for him. It was like pushing it out to get the words out. Well, by the time I made it to the other side of the Berkeley Bridge, all of that anger, all that offense, which weighed on me like a brick on my chest, it just lifted. It totally dissipated and left me from one side of the bridge with gritted teeth to the other side of the bridge being set free. So the next day, when I went into the office, I looked at him in a whole different way. I was able to look at him through the eyes of Jesus instead of my eyes of offense. Well, to my surprise, a short time later, he was fired and I received his position. So, God is good. And our fourth point. When you are offended, choose to do love. For love covers a multitude of sins. You know, doing love is so very important. We can't depend on our feelings. Our feelings come and go with the pizza we had the night before. And it's so important for us to do love. We're not dependent upon feelings. God has commanded us to love one another. He didn't command you to feel. And when we start to do love, he honors that. Something changes on the inside. Now, did you know that offense is one of the signs of the end of the age? In the 24th chapter of Matthew, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, "What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus told them a number of things in that chapter. He talked about wars, earthquakes, famines, and pestilence. But a few verses down, in Matthew 24:10, he says, "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." Whew. It's so important that we don't let offenses go, that we address them and we deal with them. As Christians, we have to be very careful about becoming offended. We live in a very toxic world, and it's easy to become poisoned by offense. Let's look at our four points. The first point was, when you are offended, stop and examine your heart and ask God why you feel offended. Number two, when you are offended, discern what is righteous indignation and what is fleshly offense. And we have to be honest with our hearts. You know, the Bible says that our hearts are deceitfully wicked, and it deceives us if we allow it to. And our third point is, when you are offended, don't rehearse the offense or find someone else to agree with the offense. We have to shut that down. We have to shut that recording down. And number four, when you are offended, choose to do love, for love covers a multitude of sins. You know, these were just four points. There are so many things we could say about offense. But as I mentioned at the beginning, we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to those areas and work out those details. So we have to stop ignoring the dash lights, and we have to stop spreading the affection. We have to choose to detox. We have to choose to have a cleanse. I guess we could say this is the CDC guidelines. Christ detox cleanse. Charger would like that. So we have to choose to detox. We have to choose to let it go. We have to release our offenses, and we have to forgive. And I know this can be very hard, but healing starts with a choice. Jesus is very acquainted with our grief and our sorrows. He knows in detail the pain that you've gone through. He knows all the details of the offense. He's very familiar with it, with great intimacy. As we end this evening and we close out our live stream, it's not really over. Because perhaps you need to do like I did, and that is to stop and examine your heart. Let's not let the offense carry on any further. It's not always a time to dump like I did on that with the public utility and vomit and just say, tell them all these things that were troubling me. But we need to talk to our Father. Our Father has the ability to reach down deep into those places that we have trouble talking about. And he can touch those inward parts and remove the pain of the past. He has that ability. Have you ever had an infected toe? Oh, have you ever had an infected toe around active grandchildren? Oh my goodness. When they step on your toe and, you know, when we have infection like that, it needs to be lanced. It needs to be opened up and drained. We'll go to the doctor and he will lance it and open it up. And that releases the infection. It's kind of ugly, but it releases the infection, it releases the pressure. And he can, and if we will allow God to open up that wound, if we will open up our hearts, if we will open up those places that we've closed up because of offense, God will pour in his healing balm and bring healing to those wounded areas. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Talk to Jesus about it. It may leave a mark, but marks are not bad. They're a testimony of God's goodness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is the instruction book for life. We thank you, Father, that everything we need to know for life and for godliness is right there. And Father, we thank you for your grace in our lives. Father, may we be aware, may we be just keenly aware of the schemes of the enemy. And Father, may we not ignore when the dash lights come on and things begin to light up. May your Holy Spirit arrest us. And may we submit, may we not resist arrest, but may we submit to the voice of your Holy Spirit and allow you to bring healing to our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I just pray that, Father, for anyone who's listening tonight, if they're having a hard time in releasing that, Father, we feel like we're justified in holding on to it, and we feel like we can't let go of it because if we let go of it, there won't be any justice. But Father, vengeance isn't ours. It's yours. And Father, may we have the courage to choose to release those offenses. And Father, you'll make everything right in the end. If that's your responsibility, we're not meant to take that yoke upon us. We're not meant to bear that. And we're not equipped to bear it. We can't handle it. We burn up with it. And Father, may we just release it. May we open our hands and release those offenses to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for the healing power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.